It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're in the 13th chapter, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with the 10th verse. And so Matthew chapter 13, actually we're going to back up just a little bit here and start with verse 8. And so please that you open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 is where we're going to begin today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to phone us, call us by phone, it'd be 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And then if you'd like to send us an email, love to hear from you, parkviewbible@gmail.com. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading with verse 8. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. But whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is the fullness of the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears they hear. And we're going to stop there at that 16th verse. Many things to talk about here today. And so please just, again, join us in this precious time. And let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank you, praise you, that we have an opportunity to read and study your precious word. I ask that you will help and just take your word and touch every heart. I'm afraid even the Lord Jesus, Father, your son, when he was speaking, many didn't even hear when God, you know, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, your Son was here on earth, and people still would refuse to hear. So we know, Father, as we are doing this program, Father, that many that have their radios turned on are not hearing. I ask, Father, that you'll open their ears, that they will hear and listen and respond to this precious word that you have given us, showing us the way of salvation, showing us the day that we need to come and say yes to you, that you died on the cross and you have taken our sins away, and you've risen again 3 days later and given us life. And not only will we have life eternal, but we have life now that is eternal. It begins immediately upon coming to you and trusting in you. So please guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked last time we were together here, we find that in verse 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." The sower. So even the good ground came up with different amounts of blessings. Some 30, 60, and 100. Depending on the moisture, type of soil, nutrients that were there, all that has to do with growing a good crop. And anyone that has farmed or has had a garden or even enjoys flowers, they know how important the nourishment is and how important it is that it be fed, have the proper water, and have the proper soil. And so we know that that is present there, and it needs to be taken care of. And so when we understand that, we understand or can understand then that as the Word of God is sown, it also has equal results. So we begin here, and he came to sow the seed. And there are three elements here that are involved. We talked about the moisture and the soil and the fertility of the ground, what it was sown. But basically we have a sower, and we have the seed, and we have the soils. So those three. Now, to begin with here, we're going to talk about the sower first before we go any further. And so as we began there with this eighth verse, and the question comes from the disciples, why do you talk in parables? A lot of these folks can't understand. Why are you doing that? Well, let's start with the sower first. The sower is of great importance. Without the sower, there is no seed sown. With no sower and no seed sown, there is no hope of fruit. So there'll be nothing. There'll be a result of nothing if the sower does not sow the seed. So we can see how important that is. So the primary attention is the sower, and then comes the seed and the result, the fruit. Let's take a look at the sowers here first. God the Father is a sower of the seed. We find that in Jeremiah 31:27. We also need to understand that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is a sower of the seed. Jesus speaks the word. He sows this incorruptible seed. And so we understand God the Father and God the Son are both sowers of the seed, of the Word of God. Holy Spirit also is a sower. So when we're studying the Word of God, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit, and so we have God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And then the fourth one that's involved in sowing the seed is believers, folks that are born again, folks that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again. So we have the seed, which is very important. We have the fruit that's produced from that seed. But first of all, we have to have the sower. And according to the Word of God, God the Father has sown seed. God the Son sows seed. God the Holy Spirit sows seed. And also we, believers, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, born-again believers, sow seed. We've looked at the sower. We'll talk about how that is done a little later. But right now, we're going to look at the seed. The seed. But others, this is verse 8, chapter 13, fell on good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. The seed is clearly the Word of God. All the Word, not just part of it. Many people choose just portions of the Word. Some folks don't believe that it's necessary today to study the Old Testament. Well, I'm here to share with you that if you don't have a good understanding and have not studied the Old Testament, you will not understand the New Testament. There is so many direct quotes of Old Testament prophets that are inserted in the New Testament that if you do not understand the Old Testament, you'll just read right through those thoughts, those statements, and not really understand them. One definite area is the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. Many people refuse to study the book of Hebrews because they say it's too difficult, doesn't make any sense. Well, it won't make any sense to you, number one, if you're not born again. You need to be born again. That's what we're talking about here in sowing of the seed, so we have understanding of the Word of God. However, not only to be born again, but then also you need to realize that the book of Exodus and Leviticus come into the picture in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Exodus and Leviticus are in the Old Testament. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, so it's the very beginning of the book. There are five books that we call the books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the first five books of the Bible. Call those the books of Moses. Moses has recorded those. The God the Father has directed the Spirit to guide Moses in recording creation, the fall, the life of Abraham, the birth of the nation of Israel, the going into Egypt, the coming out of Egypt, going to the Promised Land, the Ten Commandments, the plans to the tabernacle and the purpose of the tabernacle. All these things we must study and know and understand. If you've never studied the tabernacle and enjoyed that, you have really missed a blessing, because it just opens your eyes to the life of the Lord Jesus in his purpose, his death, burial, and resurrection, being a sacrifice for us upon the altar. All the things that he does for us as believers because he has died on the cross, rose again. All this you can see in the tabernacle that's back in Exodus, Leviticus. And we need to understand that it's important to study the whole Word of God. That's just one separate point that that we can bring out one separate area. So we need to understand that this seed is clearly the Word of God. And again, all the Word, not just portions of it or part of it. Let's go now. We've got many verses of Scripture that we're going to study today or read today. And so please go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which, the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, the death, burial, and resurrection. We are purified, you're purifying your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now we need the truth, the Word of God. So we need to study it, we need to search it, and it brings us to salvation and offers us and gives us life. The seed is very powerful. This has been kind of broken down for us to see this. And it is a joy to study in this manner. So let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We want to know the Word of God is powerful. It can save you. The Word of God can take your sin away, because the Word tells us about Jesus. The Word is Jesus. We're going to find that out here in just a little bit. So when you come to the Word of God and you listen to the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's precious Word. So it can give you life. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Romans 10, 17. I'm taking time to do this. I hope that you're, you know, you may be on the road, you may be on your way to church. It's wonderful. I just love to study it with you, and if you don't have the opportunity, all these studies are up on the website for you to enjoy later if you'd like to look them back up again. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where the power is. So not only can we gain salvation, not only can we have heaven, not only can we enjoy life, but He gives us the faith and the strength to believe and to walk and to enjoy it. Wonderful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hope you can hear the pages here because I'm turning to it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Powerful. The Word of God is sharp and powerful, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You study the Word of God. You search it. It will bring you to salvation, show you how to be saved, and then show you the path of righteousness to walk each and every day with the Lord Jesus. Not only is the seed the full word of God, not only is the seed very powerful, but it is also, the seed is God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10, 11. Isaiah 55:10, for as a rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. There is a powerful message. As the rain comes down, the snow waters the earth, brings forth the bud, gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so does my word. It fills everything. God's word is divine. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. The word of God shall stand forever. It is everlasting. So it's not only the complete word of God, and you know, if you've ever listened to this program before, that I stay with the old King James. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked by the other versions. Stay with the old King James. Study it, enjoy it, look to it. It is very powerful. It is divine. And as we've just read, it is everlasting. Go to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. James chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So the seed, the word of God, has the potential to come into our hearts. And the word there in verse 21 is engrafted. Engrafted. Able to save your soul, comes right in. John chapter 6, verse 63. I said we were going to be in a lot of places of Scripture, didn't I? John chapter 6, verse 63. 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. So not only is the word of God powerful, divine, everlasting, and as we just read, engrafted, it also brings us life. I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. That's the seed. That is the word of God. Also in John, chapter 1, this is a wonderful scripture verse, as all we find. John chapter 1, verse 1. This is the seed. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. If you want to fully understand that, then I'm going to read down. I want to get to verse 14, but first I'm going to read a little section here. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. They did not accept Him. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. He came into his own received him not. They didn't accept him as a savior. They were looking for a king, someone to give them victory over Rome, not some humble, supposedly by them, born of a carpenter, which we know it was virgin birth, but they could just see him a carpenter's son. But we see and find here, he came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Will you come by faith to Jesus? Don't say, you know, I've just always been to church, I always have believed. Because you're going to miss spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit if you do not come by faith to Him. It's something you do. God sends the faith. He sends the Word. He sends the person to give you the Word. And now all you have to do is say, yes, I believe. I believe it. I trust in you as my Savior. You have forgiven me. Verse 13. John chapter 1, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You need to be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. And now, finally, to verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And so we find the Word became flesh. So we not only now understand this seed that's being sown here, the basis of it, the seed, is clearly the Word of God. And we have found through verses of Scripture that the seed is powerful, the seed is divine, the seed is everlasting, the seed is engrafted, the seed is life, and the seed is God Himself, the second person, the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. John chapter 5, verse 39. It tells us here to search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Please trust in Jesus. And the next is a sad verse in verse 40. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And see, many, many times he was talking to the Pharisees, to the Sanhedrin, those that were very, very religious. I hope you're not just religious. I hope you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please come to Him. Call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?